Sometimes we talk about sickness, oh, I feel a cold coming on, or I feel this coming on, or feel cold weather, my joints are telling me cold weather's coming on. So we have things we feel coming on us, then there's things that come in us. Then maybe we feel that cold coming on, and then we feel the virus in us, and we have the results of that. We have the maybe some fever, maybe some coughs, maybe from runny noses, aches and pains a little bit. So some things come on you and some things come in you. And part of that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today. It was Pentecost a couple of weeks ago. We didn't talk about it then, but we'll talk about Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days. 50 days after Easter Sunday is when we celebrate Pentecost. Jews also had a different 50-day Pentecost. It was from Passover to Mount Sinai, where they got the Torah, the Ten Commandments and things. So we're going to talk about, you know, what's in you that guides you. You know, you always hear, let your conscience be your guide. Your conscience might let you down. And some people relegate the Holy Spirit as the same as your conscience. Now, I look at it a little different. I always think the conscience is a little bit of that. When God created man, that's that little part left in us that tells us to do right. It tries to teach us right from wrong. That's that good part that's left from Adam and Eve that he put in there before we downfall. And as we decline, that's that part that's still in there that God breathed in the beginning. The Holy Spirit's a lot more than that. It's a relationship being that comes to live with those that who choose to accept him and to accept Christ. So I want to read Acts 2, 1 through 21. It's a little long, but I just thought we needed to go through that whole section this morning. So it's Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Whether they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" Well, Peter came to address the crowd. And Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Now this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We just, again, ask you to open our hearts, our minds, our eyes to see what you have for us today, Lord. We just pray that the Holy Spirit speaks as you would have. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the Old Testament, you know, the Holy Spirit was put on certain chosen people. Holy Spirit's been around, part of the Trinity, back in creation. You know, God always says, we, you know, we need to do this. It's the Trinity was there from the beginning. But in the Old Testament, he was an external force that was put on a person to enable them to perform a special task or a job that God wanted them to do. Numerous people. You can look in Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, all of those people and many more. I mean, you got Gideon, you know, you got Samson, even Moses. They all had the Spirit put on them for jobs they had to do. But it was for a limited time till they got the job done. It didn't stay with them, but it stayed with them for as long as they needed it to do the job. But it gave them the power to do what they either couldn't or wouldn't do. It gave them the power to do that, what God asked. It was a supernatural power that came on them. Supernatural, sometimes we get hung up that word. You always equate that to the scary shows on TV, you know, the supernatural. But supernatural just means it's out of the natural. It's not norm. Out of the norm, it's greater than the natural. And God does a lot of supernatural things in our lives. But now we have the Holy Spirit that's available to everyone. You know, it's not just put on certain people. It's available to everyone. And it's one where we have a relationship with it. You know, we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. We have a new internal life with him. And it's a permanent relationship. It's not limited time. It's permanent. But it works the same way, and it gives us power. And it enables us to do the same things. The things we couldn't do, felt we couldn't do, or the things we wouldn't do before that God asks us to do, it enables us to do those things. You know, in same way in the Old Testament and the New, you know, God doesn't pick the most qualified. He doesn't pick the best. You know, he picks the obedient. Picks the obedient. And all of them followed through and did what God asked them to do despite the criticism. You see Peter here, you know, they already started criticizing. You know, you guys are all drunk, you know. He said, no, it's 9 in the morning. We haven't had a drink. So despite the criticism, they're obedient because the Spirit gives them that power to do that. We see in that section that wind came from heaven. Tongues of fire came on each one of them. And then enabled by the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in tongues. And again, this is not garbled words. It's not gibberish. It was native languages of the people in different areas. Now, the disciples, I don't think, knew what they were saying. But the people from those areas knew what they were saying. And we see that they're amazed by it. And that's what God does through those who are willing to be obedient. It uses the Holy Spirit through them just to amaze people. Because they know it's not them. It's something greater than them. Something supernatural. You know, when I say, well, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? And what power does he give us? And there's verse after verse after verse. I didn't write all these down, give them to Lisa. I was just going to go through a few of them here. You know, says Romans 5:5 said, God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us God's love in our hearts, pours himself into us. John 16:13 says, the Spirit of truth guides us in all truth. So he speaks the truth to us. He gives us discernment when things come up that we got to make a choice on, or we got to discern if it's right or wrong, or if it's correct or not. The Spirit gives us that truth. He gives us that discernment. Acts 13:2 says he directs our paths and our actions. You know, have you ever been stopped from maybe doing something or going to some place and maybe led to go to a different place? You know, something's come up that's changed your path. You know, Paul had that a few times. You can read, Paul says, I'm going to go here and do this. And he even says, the Spirit kept me from doing that and put him in another direction. You know, the Spirit will do that with us. He'll push us in different directions and keep us on the right path and keep us from going down the wrong path if we listen. John 14:26 says he teaches us. He makes clear. He reminds us of the truth. So he teaches us as we read and study and learn the word. The Spirit is teaching us from the inside. He's helping us to understand, to gain knowledge. Galatians 5:22-24 gives us all of God's loving emotions. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We have all those on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives them to us. But we need to allow those emotions to control us, not the other ones. Not emotions of anger and bitterness and those things. We gotta make room for these. You know, one's going to push the other one. Which ones are we going to let be pushed out? Which ones are we going to fill ourselves with? We need to fill ourselves with the fruit of the Spirit. It's already in there. We just need to let them have control. 1 Corinthians 2:4 says he empowers us in all areas of our life. We can make the right choices. Talking the other day, you know, the devil didn't make us do it. That was our choice. We can make the right choices if we desire to make the right choices. And 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says he makes us holy because it says we're being sanctified by the Spirit. Spirit's setting us apart. Spirit's guiding. Spirit's growing us to be more like Christ. So he makes us holy. The more we're into the Spirit, the more the Spirit's in control of us. There are a couple of buts, though. Ephesians 4:30 says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ever disappoint your mom and dad, your grandparents? Ever be disappointed by your kids or friends or family? You felt some grief in that. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit's given all of this power to us, all of these motions, all of the God's love poured into us. And when we fail, which we will, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, there's always the saying, you can't disappoint God because he already knows. Well, that's true, but and God has these emotions as well. That's why we have them. We can disappoint God because he expects us to be like him. He's given us the power to do so. Another but's in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, he says, we can quench the Holy Spirit. You know what quench means? We can extinguish or put out the fire. We can put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, the fire represents the Holy Spirit. That's what dropped on the disciples. He showed it to enter them. We can put that out. Again, that's our choice. We can extinguish it. Or we can raise it up. We can stoke the fire by being more like listening to it, by being more open to it, by letting the Spirit have the control. And then there was the good, the bad, and then there's the worst. Mark 3:24, among some others, says, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Never be forgiven. Well, blaspheme against the Holy Spirit is basically rejection of Christ. It's the only unforgivable sin. I think every other sin's forgivable, you know, and has been forgiven. You know, as we always say, David broke all of them. He was forgiven. But the one that's not forgiven is rejection of the Holy Spirit, which is rejection of Christ. That's the unforgivable sin. On the other hand, in Ephesians 1:13-14, kind of explains it all. It says, we heard the gospel, we believed, and then we're marked with a seal, the Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Once we do accept, we're marked by God. We're sealed up by God. And He uses the Holy Spirit to do that. Not only that, but it's a deposit on what's to come. As we know where inheritance is. It's a deposit on what's to come. So the Holy Spirit power, it gives you a voice you need to share Him and His Word. You know, it gives you the strength to do that. It gives you the strength to do a testimony like we've had here. We've had people come up front and give a testimony. That's Holy Spirit power. And we're going to have some more of those coming up. That's Holy Spirit power that gives them the courage and the strength and the desire to do that. It's Holy Spirit power that makes you have the decision to be baptized. Well, that's not natural. That's a decision that I want to be known that Christ is in my life. I want everybody to know it. So that's strength in making that decision to be baptized. It takes Holy Spirit to pray for others in the power of the Spirit for healing. For others to come to faith. It takes Holy Spirit to start a ministry despite fear. It takes Holy Spirit to help homeless, even when you're alone, maybe starting it out. It takes Holy Spirit to use your talents for God, such as playing the piano, singing, leadership, being in medical fields and using that. On missions, being missionaries. And it can be a simple service that means so much to others that maybe can't help themselves. It's Holy Spirit power. Maybe to teach Sunday school or to preach a message. It's Holy Spirit power. We see the change in Peter. Peter beforehand was all about Jesus. It was all about Jesus. You know, he knew where he stood. He knew where he was going to go until it came time. And then we see he denied him three times. It comes right down to it. As they say, the rubber meets the road, then we find out who we are, how strong we are. We see he bailed. I don't know the man. Denied him the three times. But we see what happened afterward. After the Holy Spirit entered, we see the change in Peter again. That he is that man he was before. And not only that, but better. Now he's outside talking to those same people who he told, I don't know him. I don't know him at all. You know, leave me alone. Now he's out preaching to those same people. And 3,000 people came to know Jesus. You know, it's not easy for that. It's not a comfort zone for many who do it. Or maybe what you do. You know, however you're doing a ministry, everybody's a minister. Everybody, minister just means servant. Everybody's a minister for God. But it's not comfortable sometimes. It's not comfortable for me. You have to fully frog it. You know what I mean by frog it, right? Fully rely on God. That's a frog. Fully rely on God and the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to rely on that. You have to let the Spirit to take hold of you and take yourself out of it. Because it's not about you. It's about Him. And once you do that, once that happens, then the blessings come. The blessings come. You know, messages here aren't easy for me. They don't come naturally. I don't plan them out weeks in advance. That's just, to me, that would be me doing them. Sometimes, just wait for Him to say what it's got to be about. There'll be a word or a phrase or something happen that'll just okay, it kind of click, okay, that's what we're supposed to talk about this week. And then I work on them as I can, as I feel led. Now sometimes that word don't kick in till Thursday, Friday, some Saturdays. Comes a little late. But I try then to prepare for each one that he gives me. But I feel sometimes I fall short. You know, I think, boy, this wasn't one of the better messages. This wasn't that great. But see, I said I. Put I in it. You know, as it happens, invariably, almost every time I felt that way, somebody comes after the service and I get comments, I think that was just for me. Or better yet, that was one of your better ones. So, I guess it's better that I feel bad about it. Because then it leads the Holy Spirit to take over. You know, God takes what we're able to give. And he uses it for his purposes. And I truly believe you hear something different than what I'm saying sometimes. Because I think the Spirit makes it better for you. And I'm totally grateful for that. Pray that that's what it is all the time. So, when you walk out and say, that was a good message. Or you walk out and say, I felt really convicted today. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. That's the Holy Spirit working on you. In your life. We're going to have an invitation time before we do have communion. But we're going to have an invitation in just a minute. I have a couple of more verses. John 20, verses 21 and 22. Says again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. God wants to give it to you. He wants you to have the Holy Spirit. He's breathing it on us. All he asks you to do is receive it. Just receive it. Acts 1, 6 through 8. Says, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on people in the last days. And we've been in the last days really for a long time. You know, things have passed, prophecies have happened. You know, we've been in the last days for a long time. Don't mean we won't be in them for a long time to come. You know, none of us know the day. That's God's business. We're supposed to do what we're supposed to do until then. But we see, you see, the main purpose of the Holy Spirit, what it really is to transform us into being, giving us the power to go be Jesus' witness to the ends of the earth. You know, that's what it empowers us to do, to be witnesses of what we've experienced in Christ in our life. So we need to look at what are we doing in our neck of the woods. You know, might not be in a foreign country, you might not be somewhere else, but you can be in Brazil, Indiana. You can be in Clay City. You can be in Center Point. And make a difference. So I just want you to use, are we using the power we have in the Spirit? There's so much power in that we don't use. We let it linger there. We push it out. We quench it. We don't use it the full resource we have. But it's there. It's our choice whether to let it control us or let other things control us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit, Lord. It means so much, Father. It's an indication of our relationship with you when the Holy Spirit not just comes on us, but indwells in us. It's part of us, Lord. It's sanctifying. It's making us holy. It's making us more like you. It's giving us your attitudes, your emotions of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, the self-control, all of those things, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to strengthen us by the Spirit to push out the other things that would hinder that, that would hinder us being all that you want us to be and to be able to be used for all that you want us to do. Lord, we just ask the Holy Spirit to take control in our life, just to use us, to grow us, to just have us be what you would have us to be. Let it work for you, Father. We just ask that you be lifted up by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Lord, we just thank you for it. We thank you. It's a deposit guaranteeing a life with you. We're so grateful. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and the glory. We honor you with our words, with our examples. We just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.